Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. You want to stand up for the reading of the word this morning? That'd be awesome. If you're there, say amen. It says this, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were of nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We'll stop there this morning. Well, Lord, we thank you for your word today, Jesus. I thank you, Father, for your presence this morning. Lord, I just thank you as we just continue in your word. I thank you, Holy Spirit, continue to work in our hearts and our lives today, Lord. So we just thank you for the power of your word. It is spirit and life. Lord, we just thank you for it today, Jesus. In your name, amen. Well, I really just wanted to start out asking a question this morning is, what are you chasing? And why are you chasing it? There's a lot of things that we're driven by and motivated by, whether subconsciously or consciously, that we're pursuing or chasing after. What are you chasing in your life? There's a lot of people that chase things in this world. One of the things that a lot of people chase is money. You know, if I can have more money, then I would be happier, right? I could maybe buy that car or buy that outfit or buy that house or buy those things. Maybe that would make me happier. But then materialism begins to rule and reign in our lives. And then we begin to lose our health trying to gain all this happiness, gain all this money. And I'm about building wealth. Build wealth. God wants you to have more than enough. But the problem is when we try to make that our satisfaction, our fulfillment in our life, trying to make that to bring happiness, and we lose our relationships maybe with our marriage, the expense of that, the health of that, or with our kids, or maybe our own physical health, just to find out there's just as many depressed people that have money than depressed people that don't have money. What are you chasing? A lot of people chase fame, they chase recognition, they chase position, and fame is fleeting. A lot of people, they chase maybe after a relationship or chase after people or trying to say maybe if that person will fill that spot in my life, that void in my life, and come to find out that people cannot complete you. And we try to fill our lives with so many things, chase after things that no way satisfy our lives because we're driven by the wrong motivations. We're driven by deadlines. We're driven by pressures. We're driven by circumstances. We're driven by even past memories. There's a lot of people driven by guilt today because of something they didn't do or did do over the past, and they're trying to overproduce for it, trying to make up for what they did or didn't do. There's people driven by that. People driven by resentment, going for revenge, trying to get even the score. And if you're doing that today, I'd just say, just don't do it. Just stop it. It's not worth it to try to get even. Some people are driven by that. Or we're driven by controlling fears. We're driven by problems, emotions. We're driven by the wrong mindsets. What are you chasing today? Because we're all chasing, pursuing something in our lives, whether we realize it or not. Are you pursuing the purpose of God for your life? Because God has a purpose. He has a plan for your life. You are uniquely and wonderfully made. There was no one like you, and there never will be again on this planet. It's an amazing thing. I think it's amazing that there's no fingerprint the same. I don't know how God does that, but it amazes me when I think about that. Because God made us unique, and he gave a plan for our lives. You have a plan for your life that God gave you. You are made on purpose, with a purpose, and for a purpose. Are you pursuing the purpose of God for your life? I want to read this out of Psalm 139, 15. It says this, Psalm 139, 15 through 17. It says, "You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. As I was woven together in the dark of the womb, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." You know what that means? That your life was written in a book before you even lived it. God knew you. He had a purpose and a plan for you. And we read Ephesians chapter 2, and I want to just kind of highlight verse 10 here. It says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In other words, you could read that verse that God created you for a purpose or for a good work, something that you were set out to accomplish before even you got here. And I think for us to understand that, you know, God didn't wait till we were born in the delivery room to give us a purpose. He didn't wait till the day that we were born to figure that out. He wasn't surprised by our birth, right? He wasn't like, oh my gosh, where did you come from? I wasn't expecting you. How did you get here? I messed up. Heaven code red. We need to figure out a plan for this person. We don't know what's going to happen here. He didn't do that. He had a plan in mind for you. He knew you before you even were born. That means that your purpose precedes your birth. So in other words, it doesn't matter if you're born light-skinned, dark-skinned, you have curly hair, no hair, you were born in a rich neighborhood or poor neighborhood. None of that matters because none of that affects your purpose. God knew what you were purposed for. Even the things that we count or discount may be in our lives to give us a reason not to fulfill our purpose or to live for purpose. Because a lot of people are like, you know what? You don't know what's happened in my life. You don't know what I've been through. I grew up with a family that didn't even want me. You don't know what I've been through. When you think about Moses for a minute, Moses had to be adopted to fulfill his purpose. It's an amazing thought. He had to be adopted to fulfill the purpose of God for his life because he was in a slave's house. If he continued that to be raised by slaves, he would have continued to act like a slave, think like a slave, walk like a slave, lead like a slave. But God had purposed him to be a deliverer, right? So therefore, for that to happen, Pharaoh had to adopt him, to teach him to lead like a ruler, to think like a ruler, to talk like a ruler. So the day when his purpose came forth, God didn't have to take a slave and make him a ruler, but he took a ruler and refined him into a man of purpose. So a lot of things that we think are a disadvantage to us in our lives are really could be an advantage to us if we're pursuing the right things, if we're chasing after the right stuff, if we're living for purpose. Because God can take all the things that were meant for evil and work it to good. The things that we think that are disadvantaged, God can make an advantage and weave it into purpose of your life because that's what he does. And why should I live for purpose? I think it's a question that we're asking today. Why should I live for purpose? Why should I pursue it? I think the first thing is if we don't live for purpose, we will get bored. We will get bored. If you were just living your life, working for the weekend, waiting to hit B-dubs on Friday night to get some boneless wings, man, you might be missing something. That's a highlight of your week. Because if we don't live with purpose, our lives will be empty. Even salvation cannot fulfill. Because there's many people that are thoroughly saved and thoroughly dissatisfied at the same time. Many people go to church every single week. And we sing songs of praise, we worship God, we love Jesus, but we're frustrated with our lives because we're not fulfilled, because we're chasing after the wrong things. We're chasing after people's approval and what people think and all kinds of stuff except for the purpose and the plan of God for our lives. You know, God didn't create you for your life to be tame and for it to be boring and monotonous. God didn't create your life to be that way. Because some people say, you know, serving Jesus is a little lame, it's a little boring, it's a little weak, but I don't know the Jesus that you found, but the Jesus I found is exciting. He is adventurous. You never know what's going to happen when you're serving Jesus because it's definitely not boring because things are always happening. I mean, blind eyes are open. People are being raised from the dead. Waterways are being parted. There's always something happening with Jesus. He wants to show you a whole new world. It's kind of like Aladdin, you know? He wants to take you on a magic carpet ride and show you a whole new world. Something you've never experienced before. It's exciting with Jesus. We didn't commit our lives to Christ. We were committing to monotony or to a life of predictability, but we're committing our lives to a life of adventure. And saying, you know what, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I do know who holds tomorrow. And when I wake up tomorrow, I'm going to wake up with excitement because I believe Jesus is with me every step of the way. It's exciting walking with Jesus. It is not boring. But if you're not living for a purpose, you're going to get bored. But when we do, we walk with Jesus, you just never know what tomorrow is going to bring. And you never know what God's going to do in your life, what people he'll bring in your life, places he'll send you to. You just never know. It is exciting in the kingdom of God when you're living for purpose. Living for purpose. We won't get bored. I think the second thing is this. Is you'll never be the blessing that you're intended to be if you're not flowing in your purpose. I want to read a scripture out of 1 Peter 4:10. It says this, God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other, passing on to others God's many kinds of blessings. That means God's put an ability in you that's meant to bless other people. You have a gift inside of you. It's not for yourself, but it's given to bless many people. So you're sitting next to a blessing this morning. You know, when God called Abraham in Genesis 12, Abraham, he wasn't really pursuing God, but God interrupted his life. He came to him and said, Abraham, if you leave your land, leave your family, go to this place that I'm showing you. Whoever blesses you, I'm going to bless. Whoever curses you, I will curse. But all the nations of the world are going to be blessed through you. Every family is going to be blessed through you, Abraham. That's an amazing thought when you think about that, what God wanted to do through Abraham and what he did through Abraham. And the truth is, not every family may not be blessed through us, but every realm of our influence can be blessed by us. That means if you are a teacher and all the students that you train and teach over time to lead them to success, you may look back over 25 years and maybe you're not in a magazine, you didn't get famous, but you blessed and changed somebody's world by what you did. Or if you're a nurse and you change somebody's IV, which I'm so thankful for nurses, all you out there, I don't know how you do it, but if you change an IV, you bless and affected somebody's world. And what we've got to realize is that the gifts that we have are not for us. It's not for me. The gifts of the Spirit are not even for me, because oftentimes what we want to do is we want to turn the gifts upon ourselves. But they're not meant for us. They're not meant for me, but they're meant to the people that God has sent me to the generation he's called me to. It's been given to bless many people around me. So that means you are an answer to somebody's problem. You're an answer to somebody's problem. Somebody is calling your name. Because when we walk in purpose, somebody is looking for you because you have an answer. But if we don't walk in purpose, we become not an answer to people's problems, but we become a problem to everybody's answers. God has called us to live a life of purpose. You know, Jesus didn't anoint you just to say that you were anointed, right? Just to say, I'm anointed, how good I look, how good I feel. I'm just not anointed just to say I'm anointed. But Jesus anointed you for a purpose, right? Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me, and he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to open prison doors, to set liberty to those who are captive, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. We are anointed to do something. I'm anointed. You are anointed. Not just say we're anointed, but we are anointed to do something. We are anointed. You might be anointed as a teacher. You might be anointed as an entrepreneur. You might be anointed as a business person. And you are anointed to be an answer to somebody's problem. We are anointed to do something. And we don't live on purpose, then we don't become the blessing that God intended us to be. It says this in Acts chapter, I think it's chapter 13, I believe. It says about David. It says, David fulfilled the purposes of God in his generation. He served the purposes of God in his generation, and then he died. You know what that means? That means that we don't have the right to die until we serve and fulfill the purposes of God for which we were born. Because the greatest tragedy, the greatest failure in life is not somebody that fails, but the greatest tragedy, the greatest failure is someone who is alive and doesn't know why they're here. You know, because when you go to cemeteries, you look at the tombstones, you see the year that you were born and the year the person died. In the middle of that, there's a dash. You know, we get to give meaning what that dash means. And we do that by living for purpose, pursuing purpose. You know, our lives are so short. It's just a vapor, just a mad dash to the next life. My grandma always said, Jonathan, it goes really, really fast. I'm like, okay, grandma, I was really young, whatever you say. But I'm like, grandma was right, because time is like zipping by, like 10 years gone. We're already in November. It's like we're getting on 2020. I'm like, I thought in 2020 the apocalypse was going to happen. I mean, it's just like, hey, we're already here. Time is going by fast. And it's like, I just have this short amount of time to make an impact in my life. And it's like, man, I want to go out strong. I want to go out for the glory of God, doing all I can with all my energy, all my mind. It's like, I don't have time to take offense or get caught up in petty things or all those things. I don't have time for that, because I'm pursuing the purpose of God for my life. And I've just got a short amount of time to do it in. We give meaning to that dash for our lives, and we do that by pursuing purpose. I think the third thing why we should live for purpose or pursue purpose is we only get rewarded for what God has called us to do. I want to read a scripture out of Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. It says this, I don't mean to say I am perfect. I haven't learned all I should even yet, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. No, dear brothers, I am still not all I should be, but I'm bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God is calling us up to heaven because of what Christ Jesus did for us. You know, you can do a lot of good things that God never intended you to do. You can spend a lot of time and energy on stuff that maybe are not God things. That's why Paul said, I'm expending my energy on this. This is what I'm doing. I'm pursuing the goal. I'm pressing towards the mark, pressing towards the prize that's laid before me. That's what I'm doing. That word press is where we get the word scopos, which means telescope in our English language, which gives us the ability to see far off. It's like, I can see far off. I can see that mark that's clearly cut before me, and I'm pursuing that. I'm pressing towards that mark, the purpose of God for my life. That's where I'm expending my energy, and I want you to think like me, like an Olympic racer that has white dashes on the necks of me, and I'm running this race, and I'm not going to stop till I finish. I know who I am. I know what I'm called to be. I know what my purpose is, and I'm not going to get out of my lane. I'm going to fulfill what God has set me out to do. I'm hitting that mark on my life. That was his mindset, to run this race that has been set before him to fulfill the purpose on his life. Except the problem is, when we're running this race, a lot of times what we do is we begin to look all around us, the people all around us, begin to compare ourselves with each other. And that is one of the most disastrous things that you can do, because that's where jealousy and strife and envy comes in. You're getting your eyes off the mark that Jesus has set before you. That's not what we should be doing, but keeping our eyes on the prize. That's where I got to learn to discern if I'm chasing after something that you have or you got, or I've got my eyes on the prize and I'm running to finish this race that Jesus has set before me, that I'm straining to finish it. He said, this is where I'm expending my energy. And you read in Acts and you see where he comes kind of to the end of his life. He's running his race. He goes to Ephesus, and he gets this prophetic word. Basically, it says, if you go to Rome, you're going to be thrown in jail. There's going to be difficulties and afflictions. And for me, it'd be like, that would be a reason not to go. But he's like, I'm going to go anyways. Even in the midst of all that, these prophetic words saying, this is going to be terrible. I'm doing it because I know this is my purpose, to preach the gospel to Rome. Because Rome was the known center part of the world at that time. Getting the gospel to Rome changed everything, because God's plan was to get the gospel to the ends of the earth. And he went in obedience, not out of comfortability or convenience, but he went because I'm obeying what God wants me to do and my purpose for my life. And he goes, and he's eventually martyred. But it says that he had finished his race, he finished his course, and joyfully doing so, because he had a purpose. He was running out his lane and hitting that mark that God had called him to do, the purpose on his life. You know, Jesus, when he went to the cross, he said, Father, I've glorified you because I've finished what you set me out to do. I finished the purpose that you have for me. Was there still sick people? Yeah. Still cities need to be reached? Yes. But he said, I've fulfilled the purpose of what you set me out to do, and I've brought glory to you. I've glorified your name. You know, God doesn't get any glory out of people who don't finish. It's not how you start, but it's how you finish, right? I remember seeing a firework display, I think it was in Terre Haute one time, and it started out like crazy. I mean, like, fireworks are going off everywhere. It's like, wow, this is amazing. I'm like, what's the grand finale going to be like? I mean, just fireworks are going off everywhere. It's like the craziest beginning I've ever seen before. But all of a sudden, about 20 minutes into it, you see them just start going off, waning off. It's like, and it stopped, and it's like, where's the grand finale? It's over. Then I found out that they shot the grand finale first at the beginning accidentally instead of the end. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. That was explains why things didn't happen there at the end. I'm like, I was waiting for it, but it never happened. I think everybody else was too. You know, in my life, I don't want to start out just strong, but I want to finish strong. I want to go out with a boom and a bang, going for the glory of God, fulfilling the purpose of my life. I'm going to go all out for Jesus. It's not how you start, but it is how you finish. And I want to go out for all the glory of God in my life. I'm going to live for purpose. You say, how can I live for purpose? I know I should live for purpose. The first thing I want to say is this: don't panic. A lot of times we panic. It's like, I need to quit my job and put in my resignation. I know I've been called to preach since I was 18. I'm going to go do that. Don't do that. Very rare does that happen. Or go to Africa and live in a hut. Unless God just tells you to do that, do that. But don't panic. Oftentimes we panic. There's a scripture that says this in 1 Corinthians. I just want to read that to you. It says 1 Corinthians 7:20. It says, Paul makes a very interesting statement about this. He says, usually a person should keep on with the work he was doing when God called him. So that means if God found you when you were an architect, stay an architect. If you were an electrician when God found you, stay an electrician. Because God's going to use you and your purpose in that place where you already are. You can find purpose if you're looking for it. It's already there. Don't panic. Don't panic. The second thing is this. If God does have more for you than what you're currently experiencing, learn that he guides you in steps. He guides you in steps. It says this in Psalm 37:23. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in their going. Proverbs 16:9, it says, a man makes his plans, but the Lord directs his steps. You say, how long am I planning for? I can only do the will of God today. Then when I wake up tomorrow, I do the will of God again. And then the next day, I do the will of God. Because the purposes and the will of God come to you in proportions of, by grace, like manna. They come every single day. You say, what am I going to be doing next year? It's like, I don't know. I'm not sure yet. I think I know, but I'm not sure. Because I know my steps are going to be ordered by God. Jesus said that his sheep hear his voice and they follow him. It's not super complicated. Just I listen and I obey. I listen and I obey. Every single day I listen and I obey. Just like Abraham when he was called out to a land he didn't know where he was going. You know, he didn't have a strategy, but what he didn't have in strategy, he had instruction. Sometimes you don't need a plan, you just need instruction. And by hearing every day, you receive instruction. Sometimes the word of instruction is just go forgive that person who offended you. Or the instruction might be just wait on the Lord. I hear, I listen, and I obey. And for us today, we need to listen and obey. And step by step, running in our lane. And at the end of it, I believe we'll hear Jesus say, well done. You did it. Was I famous? I don't know. Did I make a lot of money? I'm not sure I gave a lot away. But I do know this. I live for the purposes of God, and I'm happy because I did that. I want to live for the purposes of God. I want to be focused on the purposes of God. There's many things that we can chase in this life, but that's the only place that brings us true satisfaction and fulfillment, when I'm living for his purposes. It's an adventure. It's fun. Walking with him shouldn't be boring. But walking with him, it is a true adventure. And I just want to pray for us this morning. But Father, first of all, we just thank you for your presence today, Jesus. We thank you for your peace today, God. And I thank you for working in our hearts. And Lord, today, we just say we want to live for your purposes. Maybe there's other things that have caught our attention or other things that is driving us or we're pursuing or chasing, and we put your purposes, your will, and plan to the side. And today we just pick that back up and say, we're gonna live for you. We're gonna live for your purposes, God, because we know our lives are short, just like a mad dash of vapor in this life. And God, we give meaning to that dash of our lives. So I just thank you today as we live for purpose. I thank you for the adventure. Lord, that you want to show us so many things, Lord, that you want to take us places, Lord, that you want to move through us, you want to set people free through us, God, that you want to deliver people through us, God, that you want to do so much through us. I thank you for the adventure of walking with you, because it's not boring and you are boring in the kingdom. So I thank you for those of us that might be bored today, we choose to live for purposes as we do that. Lord, I thank you for the adventure that's about to come about, that we wake up excited every morning knowing that you're walking with us every step of the way. And I thank you, Jesus, Lord, that the gift that you place within us, it's not for us, but it's for those around us. It's been given to bless other people. And I thank you that we're going to be answers to other people's problems, because you sent us in this world for a purpose, to accomplish something that we were born for, that only we can do. So I thank you for us for being an answer to this generation, to this region, to this community. because you've purposed us for a time such as this in Duggar, Indiana. So I thank you today for stirring the flame within each and every one of us. The fire to chase, Lord, your purposes and pursue your purposes today, God. And I thank you, Father, for your favor upon each and every person in this place today. And Lord, what you're doing in their lives this morning. If there's anybody in this place this morning who says, you know what, I want to receive Jesus in my heart. I've just been living my own life, doing my own thing, and I want to give him my heart today. I just want to give you the opportunity to do that. So if you say, I want to give Jesus my life, just raise your hand this morning. I want to pray with you. Amen. Well, Father, I just thank you today for your peace and your presence. The work you're doing in our heart today, as we leave this place, I think we're going to take it with us and affect the world around us today, Jesus. So I speak a blessing over your people this morning, over your sons and your daughters today. I thank you for a faith and a fire like never before as we walk out of this place. And Lord, I just thank you as we leave. I thank you for the adventure as we walk out of here of walking with you and living for your purposes today, God. So I just bless your people today. Lord, we just thank you, Jesus, for what you've done and what you're doing in our hearts today, Father. We just say be glorified, and we thank you, and we thank you, Jesus, for all that you are and all that you've done. In Jesus' mighty name.